On this day, 11 years ago, the first detainees in the so-called War on Terror arrived at the U.S. naval base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Since then, some 774 prisoners have been held there. Most have been released. There are currently 166 still there. Of those, 157 have not been charged with any crime, and 86 have been cleared for release. Only six have been convicted of terrorism or reached plea bargains with the military tribunal system. Today, demonstrators marched on the White House to protest the camp's continuing existence and to demand justice for those imprisoned there without charges or trial for so long. Among them was Omar Farah, a staff attorney with the Guantanamo Justice Initiative at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Speaking with WBAI's Andrea Sears, Farah said the death last September of Anad Latif, a detainee from Yemen, was indicative of the air of hopelessness that is pervasive among prisoners there.
It's shocking, and it's a very, very dark time at Guantanamo. I came back on December 23rd after having met with three or four prisoners, and they're really hanging on to their psychological stability and their sense of hope by a thread. You know, there are a lot of complicated reasons why Guantanamo policy has remained the way it is, but ultimately this problem begins and ends with the current president. And until he decides to act on the promises and act on the pretty words that he states, the denunciation that he states to Guantanamo, the situation will not change.
Adnan Latif was picked up in Pakistan in 2002 as he was seeking medical attention. He was sold for $5,000 to the U.S. He was cleared for release in 2006, 2008, 2009, ordered release by the U.S. District Court judge in 2010, then had that overturned by the appeals court. Then he died a supposed suicide in September. How typical is the story of Adnan Latif of those 157 who are still there who have not been charged with any crime?
The story of Adnan is so horrifying precisely because it's a tragedy waiting to happen across the board at Guantanamo Bay. 89 of the prisoners who are there now are from Yemen, and the president has unilaterally determined that those prisoners stand no chance now of going home because he's instituted a moratorium on the transfers of all prisoners to Yemen. So you have to stop for a moment at the 11-year anniversary and contemplate the psychological torment of knowing that you stand no chance of ever regaining your freedom simply on the say-so of this president, no matter whether or not you've been cleared for release, no matter your conduct. It's a system of crude collective punishment that, unless the president reverses course, is going to lead to more tragedies like Adnan.
4 years ago, President Obama did sign an executive order to close Guantanamo inside of a year. It's been 4 years. It's still open. What are the possibilities? What options are there to close it at this point?
The president has, throughout his first term, I think, tragically missed many opportunities to substantially reduce the prison's population. There are prisoners at Guantanamo, for example, who fear persecution if they were returned to their home country. And there are countries out there that are ready and willing to accept them and to help them be safely resettled. You know, why those men remain at the prison is just indefensible. As I said, there are 56 Yemeni prisoners, for example, who have been cleared for release. And just so that your listeners know what that means they were unanimously approved for transfer out of Guantanamo by every national security, law enforcement, and military agency that has a stake in Guantanamo detainee affairs. The idea that none of these prisoners, not one of them, can be safely sent back to their homes and their families is, again, just indefensible. So if you look at Guantanamo as an undifferentiated group of prisoners, which I think the administration often likes to suggest, then it looks like a harder problem than it is. But there are men there, they're individual men, 166, and many of them could be released today if the president had the political will. And I think until we start taking those incremental steps, until the president is willing to take those incremental steps, then the administration is not in the position to say that closing Guantanamo is impossible. As prisoners are successfully released and begin to rebuild their lives, I think internal pressure will be created and momentum towards ultimately closing this ugly chapter in our history.
Well, I know there is a march to the White House in Washington today. What kind of things, as the Center for Constitutional Rights, which had the first clients at Guantanamo, what kind of things are you doing today to mark this occasion and to increase the pressure on the administration to finally get Guantanamo closed?
Well, the sad thing is that the whole Guantanamo regime, obviously, the whole experiment is predicated on secrecy. And so the tragic thing is that my clients, for example, Fahed Ghazi, who was detained at age 17, who was cleared for release under the Bush administration, speaks fluent English, a highly intelligent and decent person, can't speak for himself today. He can't tell you what it feels like for himself to be separated from his young daughter and wife for no justifiable, defensible reason. And so what we've done is to come to D.C. and go to the Supreme Court, the White House, and all of the institutions of government that are collectively responsible for this tragedy, and to tell our clients' stories, to force people to be confronted with the humanity of the individuals who remain trapped at Guantanamo. I represent a man named Tariq Baouda. He's about 30 years old, and he's been on a hunger strike since February of 2007. Since February of 2007, he has refused to voluntarily accept food from the Department of Defense, which means that every day a rubber tube is shoved down his nose and a liquid dietary supplement is pumped into his stomach to keep him alive. And I sit with Tariq and I ask him, why do you do this? How do I explain to people who have never seen Guantanamo and don't know you, how do I explain to them why you do this? And he says, it's the only peaceful way I have to explain the magnitude of the injustice that I suffer on a daily basis. It's the only way I have to communicate my message. And so I'm here in D.C. today, and I was in front of the White House because Tariq can't be there for himself to say to President Obama, you have to reverse course. There's no small fix to Guantanamo. You have to absolutely abandon it, free all the men that you don't intend to charge.
Omar Farrar is a staff attorney with the Guantanamo Justice Initiative at the Center for Constitutional Rights. He spoke with WBAI's Andrea Sears.